This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this first day of 2017. During the Advent season, we've been talking about the roles the Christ Child plays in our lives in our What Child Is This sermon series. In today's program, we'll conclude this series with the message entitled, Our Help from Heaven.
Now that the emotion of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day are behind us, we're going to stand back and take a final look at that question we've been addressing these past few weeks. What child is this, whose birth we have celebrated once again? So I hope you'll stay with us. We begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly God and Father, we gather before the Christ Child one more time and ask you to open our eyes to see the treasures that are ours, the help that is available as we follow this Jesus Christ who was born of the Virgin Mary. In his name we pray. Amen. Our reading for today is from Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 10. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. I'll praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Dear friends, Merry Christmas, and I hope you have a Happy New Year. You know, I've never been sure of what to do when it comes to preaching this particular time of the year, Christmas and New Year's. It would be easy, I suppose, for me to load a bunch of New Year's spiritual resolutions on you, but that isn't really good news to build a life upon, is it? It can come off sounding more like law instead of good news. We could celebrate, I suppose, the blessings and challenges of the past year. That would sound more like a Thanksgiving message, I think. So instead, I thought maybe now that the emotional part of the Christmas experience is behind us, why not take one last shot at considering that question we have been focused upon during the weeks leading up to Christmas. What child is this whose birth we just celebrated? The writer of the letter to the Hebrews has a very insightful and encouraging answer for us today. Like the news magazines and television shows that use collages and images at the end of a year to remind people of things that have taken place, The book of Hebrews offers a collage of images to help us understand this child named Jesus. First picture that jumps out at you is he's our brother. Listen to this verse. For the one who sanctifies, cleanses from sin, and those who are sanctified, all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He's our brother. He became one of us. He's true God, but he's also true man. He identified himself with us. As I look at this verse, I finally understand what that third verse of O Holy Night is all about when it says, chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Or, I've never been comfortable singing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, that last verse of that one, as we sing of God our Father, Christ our brother. Jesus, the Son of God, according to this passage, entered our humanity. He became our brother. He partook of our flesh and blood by becoming one of us. He went through everything that we go through. He experienced what we experience in life. Such things as pain and hunger and thirst and tears and loneliness and weariness and disappointments and temptations even to do life his way instead of his heavenly Father's way. Max Lucado a few years ago put out a book called God Draws Near, and in that I like this reflection he uses in thinking about Christ's incarnation. Here it is. The phrase, I've been there, is in the chorus of Christ's theme song. To the lonely, Jesus whispers, I've been there. To the discouraged, Christ nods his head and sighs, I've been there. He entered into every detail of human life. Are you poor? Jesus knows how you feel. Are you at the lowest rung of the social ladder? He understands. Ever been taken advantage of? Christ says, I've been there too. Have you ever felt like you needed to get away from the pressures and demands? Jesus says, I've been there. Family tensions? Yep, I've been there too. Falsely accused? Absolutely. And the list goes on. I've been there, Jesus says. And then Lucado says, whatever you are facing, Jesus knows how you feel. Now, I find comfort in that thought, that Jesus knows how I feel, that he's walked a mile in my shoes, that he is one who empathizes. And when I turn to him, he understands. This passage tells us that he is like an older brother who doesn't look down on us or tell us to get lost, but he comes to help us. I'm reminded of a movie from quite a few years ago, a very popular movie entitled A River Runs Through It. It's a true story. Two brothers growing up in the beautiful mountains of Montana. The elder brother was quiet, studious, hardworking, went off to college, got a good job, and was respected in his community. The younger brother was great fun, always in trouble, pushing the envelope on what was acceptable. He had a drinking problem as well as a gambling problem, and he ended up associated with some guys who got him deeper and deeper into trouble, and he was finally killed in a backstreet brawl. His older brother just couldn't help him. They had grown too far apart over the years. It was a movie and a yet tragic story, and the most tragic thing about it was this. The older brother saw what was happening to his younger brother, but there was nothing he could do about it. He just couldn't reach him. He couldn't come to where he was and rescue him. Well, the point of this passage is that Jesus, our older brother, could and did come to where his siblings were wallowing in the land of sin and death, and he came to help us. He identified with us, shared our fate, and he rescued us from it. How did he do it? Well, the next image tells us that, where he's described as the pioneer of salvation. The image that comes to mind with this word pioneer is like the American pioneers who blazed the way through the wilds of the West for others to follow and then make new homes and new lives in a new place. Or I think of an explorer hacking his way through an unexplored jungle, forging his way through treacherous terrain until he reaches his goal. And once he's done that, others can follow to the other side. That's what Jesus has done. Our pioneer. He has blazed the trail to salvation, to lead us to the presence of God. He went through suffering and pain and sin and death out of love for us when he went to that cross, and we needed to be saved from all of those things. And nobody had ever gone through that, come out on the other side. But Jesus did. And in so doing, he opened the way to God. A whole new world is here, a world of cleansing and forgiveness awaits those who will follow the pioneer, Jesus Christ. And a new eternal life in the presence of God is ours as we go with him. Jesus. The next image of Jesus that's used in this passage describes him as a liberator. There's battlefield imagery as we see death destroyed. Our captain who came to fight for us. His coming was a rescue mission. We needed rescuing. We were captive to the power of sin, death, and the devil. But through his own death, Scripture says, he destroyed the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. And in his dying and rising, Jesus has taken the sting out of death. It's destroyed. God's love displayed in the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus won out over evil. I like this saying that goes, at the cross, Jesus was crucified, but Satan got nailed. He frees those who all their lives have been held in slavery by the fear of death. I love this little story I came across. An Anglican priest in Brixton named Joy, just outside of London, tells a wonderful story about a woman in her church. This woman underwent some serious surgery, and because she was elderly, her prospects of recovery were slim at best. Fortunately, she survived the surgery. Now, here's what happened. As she opened her eyes, the first thing she saw was the blurred image of her doctor dressed in a typical white doctor's jacket. And she smiled and said, "Hello, God. My name is Mary." That's the kind of assurance of eternal life that we can all have as we place our trust in Jesus Christ. Some of us have gone through the Christmas experience since last year, and there's an empty chair at the table now. A loved one has passed on. This passage is our assurance for them, and for us as well, as we consider our own mortality. Because Christ lives, we shall live also. Finally, the last picture that is used of this Jesus is seeing him as a high priest. A priest in the Latin, by the way, means bridge builder. Jesus had to become like his brothers and sisters, this passage says, in every respect, so that he might be a merciful high priest, bridge builder, in the service of God to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the world. For we all are sinners in need of atonement, need to escape the divine wrath of God. And Jesus, as the perfect high priest who lived the perfect life of obedience as a human, went to the cross for you and for me to make the perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins and put a bridge between God and ourselves. What a collage. He's our big brother. He's the pioneer of salvation. He's the liberator who conquered death. He's the high priest who has built a bridge of forgiveness for us. Now, why does he go through all of this collage, this writer? I think we find out in the last verse of the passage where he says, because Jesus himself was tested by what he suffered, he's able to help those who are being tested. He's able to help. Jesus is our help from heaven. This last verse seems to be an appeal. I've told you all these wonderful things about Jesus, the writer says. All that he went through for you. I want you to be sure that he is able to help you as you face the tests of life. Because he was writing to people who were being tested by sufferings, who were being tested by discouragement and the trials of life, who were being tested in terms of undergoing some persecution from their society, and the temptation was to just give it up, this faith of theirs. And our writer today says, I want you to know Jesus is able to help. Help is here, not help was here or help will be here, but help is here in Jesus Christ. So when you're tempted to give up on trusting God and to do life my way and even think about shrinking back from standing up for Jesus or hanging on to your faith, remember, he is your help for you. He's there for you. We have our times of testing. I know he's able to help. As you face the challenges of this year, whatever they may be, Jesus says, you can count on me. I will not leave you orphaned. I am able. Big brother is here. Help from heaven is here for you and for me. It's like that old hymn says, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Help has arrived. Lean on him. Trust him. Big brother, Jesus is here for you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, in your mercy and grace, you gave your Son to share in our humanity and our sufferings. We praise you and thank you for the gifts that are ours through Jesus Christ, our pioneer, our liberator, and our great high priest. May every person awaken to their need for help, and may they receive the one who is the help that everyone needs. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has encouraged you to, in times of testing, lean on Jesus Christ, your high priest and your big brother. We have been blessed by the financial and prayerful commitment of our listening family in this past year. As we look to 2017, we ask you to continue remembering this ministry as part of your weekly worship. We also ask you to share the ministry with your family and loved ones who long to hear the Word of God in this way. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts and prayers of our listening audience. All donations to this ministry are tax deductible. Address your gifts to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Christian Crusaders features hundreds of past programs on our colorful, newly redesigned website. Visit us online today at christiancrusaders.org. We are thankful you chose to join us today, and we look forward to worshiping with you again next Sunday. Conducting our service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 81st year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.